Rumors were floating around for about a year leading up to the death of Pope Francis that Rome and the SSPX had come to an agreement about the consecration of bishops, that Rome had agreed to give permission, and they were just hammering out the details. Many Catholic YouTubers reported on these rumors because they came from very reliable sources as proof that the SSPX was not considered schismatic in the eyes of Rome. I considered also making videos announcing these rumors, but decided to wait and see what actually happened. I was suspicious as to whether or not Rome was acting in good faith, quite frankly, and did not believe at the time that Rome would actually follow through with permission for the SSPX to consecrate bishops, and I was right. There also was another rumor floating around prior to this one, which said that the reason Pope Francis gave the SSPX clergy faculties for confession while later putting restrictions on the Latin Mass was to drive all the Latin Mass Catholics into the SSPX, and the church would eventually declare the entire SSPX, including the faithful who attended their Masses, schismatic and excommunicated. This rumor has taken new life. Rumor has it that when the SSPX consecrates new bishops, it won't just be the bishops involved who receive excommunication like last time, but also the priests, seminarians, religious, and yes, the faithful who attend the SSPX Masses and other sacraments. This rumor I do want to give some thoughts on. Of course, we won't know for sure, and I won't be able to give a proper commentary until a statement is released from the Vatican. But unfortunately, as absurd as it would be, I think this might actually happen. If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are David the Zealot and Michael Bryan. You can also like and follow me on Facebook, X, Rumble, BitChute, and Substack. My first book, Until the Last Penny, is available in both ebook and paperback form on Amazon. It's a fictional story of a soul's journey through purgatory, and it is unapologetically Catholic. You can get your copy by clicking the link in the description, and special thanks to Mike for leaving a review. Canon law leaves provisions for people, both clergy and faithful, who act out of necessity, the dictates of their conscience, if you will, and spiritual advantage. In other words, actions taken that would normally cause excommunication are immune from excommunication if the person was acting out of a state of necessity. Even if such a state of necessity doesn't actually exist, the person just thinks that it does. That's the Code of Canon Law 1323 and 1324. Judging from some of the comments in my last SSPX video, some people believe that the Pope is some all-powerful dictator who can suspend canon law at will. Like this comment, quote, "The Pope is the one who creates canon law. If the Pope is excommunicating you, you can't appeal to canon law to weasel out of it, because it's his law, and he can change it at any time, anywhere." Then why do we even have canon law? Why has the church given us rights if the Pope can arbitrarily suspend them for this or that group of people? That is a tyrant, not a servant. Yes, the Pope can change canon law, but he can't suspend it for these people over here, but not anyone else. That's not justice. The Pope is not an all-powerful ruler. He is supposed to be the guardian of truth. No man judges the Pope. This is true. But that is not the same as saying the Pope is not bound by law. This belief is ridiculous. He is at least bound by the natural law, the moral law, and the divine law, which would include justice. We can say this is not just, therefore it is invalid. If canon law gives provision for acting out of a state of necessity, it is only a reflection of the natural, moral, and divine law. An unjust command is no command at all. An unjust law is no law at all, regardless of who gives it. Now, if Rome excommunicates the laity who attend the SSPX, how would that work? Would they say, if you have been attending, you are excommunicated? Is it just to punish behavior that was not illegal at the time? Would they say, going forward, if you attend an SSPX Mass, you are excommunicated? Well, are they prepared to do the same for those who attend Protestant services or other religious services, married couples, for example, that attend each other's services? Are they prepared to say Catholics can only attend approved Catholic services and no other? Are they prepared to abandon ecumenism? You can't treat actual heretics, schismatics, and heathens better than your own sons and daughters who just want the authentic faith. And if you say, if you attend, that's an automatic excommunication, well, that's a laetae sententia excommunication, and canon law specifically says a laetae sententia penalty cannot be applied when a person is acting out of a state of necessity, or if they thought a state of necessity existed. And no, the Pope cannot apply that to thee and not to me. He does not have arbitrary power. He can't single out a group of people and say, this applies to everyone but you. He can change it, but it has to be across the board. Now, I want to show you a clip that perfectly illustrates the problem that a state of necessity indeed exists.
It's important to understand that the unity or division of the church should not revolve around sexual matters. We tend to think that when the church is talking about morality, that the only issue of morality is sexual. And in reality, I believe there are much greater and more important issues, such as justice, equality, freedom of men and women, freedom of religion, that would all take priority before that particular issue.
This is heresy. First of all, sexual sin is the biggest problem today if you care about the salvation of souls, which is supposed to be the Pope's job. According to Fatima, the sins of the flesh are what send most people to hell, and religious freedom has been condemned by the church in the strongest of terms, infallibly. And no, Pope Leo does not have the authority to change it any more than he could change the Immaculate Conception. Read Quanta Cura by Pius IX. The condemnations that are in that document meet the requirements for infallibility. How about this one?
Tutte le religioni sono un cammino per arrivare a Dio.
Because every religion is a way to arrive at God.
Sono, dirò una comparazione, sono come diverse lingue, diverse idiomi per arrivare lì.
Sort of a comparison, an example would be they're sort of like different languages in order to arrive at God.
This is a denial of outside of the church there is no salvation. Read the Council of Florence. Heck, read the Second Vatican Council. The Second Vatican Council itself says that if you know the Catholic Church is the true church and refuse to enter or remain in it, you will not be saved. Now, we have three options. Option one is, unfortunately, the one most people choose. And that is to say that it doesn't matter what the church said in the past. This is the Pope. We have to do what he says. Or try to interpret the past in such a way that these councils and popes didn't actually mean what they say, or it was just for that time period or whatever, but what the Pope says now goes. Option two is to say, well, these men are clearly wrong, this is manifest heresy, and therefore he is not the Pope. Option three is to recognize that none of this rises to the level of infallibility, which is the only time a pope is guaranteed to be without error. This isn't even the ordinary magisterium. These are just men giving their opinions. And so we therefore hold to the traditional faith in spite of this. It's like this. Say your dad is drunk and he insists on driving. You take the keys and refuse to give them to him even though he is ordering you to. Ordinarily, you are bound to obey your father, but in this situation, you are justified to disobey. The postmodern popes are drunk on modernism, and that's why they make silly statements like these. Just to show you that this concept of ignoring what the hierarchy says and clinging to tradition isn't itself a novelty, here are some quotes from St. Vincent of Lerins, an early church father. Quote, I have often then inquired earnestly and attentively of very many men eminent for sanctity and learning, how and by what sure and so to speak universal rule I may be able to distinguish the truth of the Catholic faith from the falsehood of heretical pravity, and I have always and in almost every instance received an answer to this effect, that whatever I or anyone else should wish to detect the frauds and avoid the snares of heretics as they rise and to continue and sound complete in the Catholic faith, we must, Lord helping, fortify our own belief in two ways. First, by the authority of the divine law, and then by the tradition of the Catholic Church. But what if some error should spring up on which no such decree is found to bear? Then we must collate and consult and interrogate the opinions of the ancients, of those namely who, though living in various times and places, yet continuing in the communion of the faith of the one Catholic Church, stand forth acknowledged and approved authorities, and whatsoever he shall ascertain to have been held, written, taught, not by one or two, or these only, but by all equally, with one consent openly, frequently, persistently, that he must understand that he himself also is to believe without any doubt or hesitation. What then will a Catholic Christian do if a small portion of the Church have cut itself off from the communion of the universal faith? What surely but prefer the soundness of the whole body to the soundness of a pestilent and corrupt member? What if some novel contagion seek to infect not merely an insignificant portion of the Church, but the whole? Then it will be his care to cleave to antiquity, which at this day cannot possibly be seduced by any fraud of novelty. But whatever a teacher holds other than all or contrary to all, be he holy and learned, be he a bishop, be he confessor, be he a martyr, let that be regarded as a private fancy of his own, and be separated from the authority of common public general persuasion, lest after this sacrilegious custom of heretics and schismatics rejecting the ancient truth of the universal creed, we follow at the utmost peril of our eternal salvation the newly devised error of one man. Though we, he says, meaning the Apostle Paul, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, Galatians 1:8. Why does he say, though we? Why not rather, though I? He means, though Peter, though Andrew, though John, in a word, through the whole company of apostles, preach unto you other than we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Tremendous severity he spares neither himself nor his fellow apostles, so he may preserve unaltered the faith which was first delivered. Notice that St. Vincent doesn't spare Peter. Even if Peter preaches something other than the authentic faith, we cling to antiquity, the ancient faith. We can look to the Arian heresy as a guide. Now you might say the popes were not on the wrong side of the Arian heresy. Not so fast. Liberius signed a semi-Arian creed and excommunicated Athanasius. A man who we now call saint was excommunicated by the first pope in history not to be declared a saint. Athanasius didn't recant his position. He is now seen as the one who was right, and Liberius, the pope, was wrong. And Athanasius didn't accept his excommunication as valid. Now, how likely is this to happen? How likely is there to be an explicit excommunication of the laity that attend the SSPX? Very unlikely. The laity are not members of the SSPX. We are just Catholics. And as I said, it would be very difficult to arbitrarily excommunicate us without simultaneously banning attendance to all non-Catholic religious services. That's what I think. If I were to make a prediction, some kind of excommunication for the laity will be mentioned, but it will be if they formally adhere to the schism like last time. It'll be vague, something that the critics of the SSPX will beat us over the head with, but in reality applies to almost no one, or is so subjective that no one can say for sure if it applies to anyone. But ultimately, we'll have to see what happens. Until my next video, God bless.